Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
It's here, Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry, Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Thank you guys so much for joining us here on the Cantina to review Andor episode 11. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app if you're listening to us. I think Cam froze, and that's.
I think it was fine right until we started, and then
It's like people in the audience where they're like, no. We don't want the glory that is Andor. We don't want it. Your phone is like, no, I refuse
to
record.
It seemed to be working. And then,
yeah. Give us a follow on your favorite podcast app, whatever you're listening to us on right now. And, of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you for doing that. Give us a subscription if you haven't already. We got a lot of other great content as part of the genre-verse anime, Marvel, general pop culture, geeky entertainment stuff. And, of course, check out LRM Online. Cam's face. LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. The penultimate episode for Andor, guys.
Yeah.
I must say that while there is a really great action sequence and there's some real It's a quiet episode relative. That's what I'm wanting to get out. It feels like that breath you take before the next round in a fight, or the breath that you take before the next step in a series of actions. Before, you know, that's what it felt like. This wasn't meant to be anything that ramped up any more of the drama or the situation. It's meant to be that here we go. You guys ready? Do you see all the pieces we've been playing with all season? And I think it did a really good job doing that. I love all the little character moments, even with B the droid, you know, and I'm not the world's biggest droid fan since the days of R2-D2 flying and 3PO's head on a on a battle droid. I like the original droids, but I'm not one that's drawn to droids, let's say, as some are, BB-8 and all of that. But I liked what they did with B. I really did. I thought that was fitting. Just all the little moments add up to just another solid show. What do you think of it, Cam?
Yeah, I completely agree. As you said, it is a kind of set up episode, but I think in an average TV show, we call those ones the filler episodes, because I think what happens is they have everybody they need to move somewhere specific, so they spend an episode that's like a moving episode where they just put people in places, and it doesn't always necessarily make sense. That's kind of happening here, but everything is making sense because it's all built into the character stories that we've been following as we go along. So it's really just a continuation for the likes of Mon Mothma, Luthen. The one that's kind of different for and is kind of on the move, if you like, is Cassian, but it feels as if they're setting up potentially him going back to Ferrix. And obviously we'll see if that happens in the finale, obviously. But I mean, I think the thing with this week's episode is it's great, it's just not as great as maybe the last couple were, because we were especially last week, were very, very good. you know, and that's not quite where we are at the moment, but it could build to being a great finale there for next week with all the pieces being in place. But as you say, there's nothing to specifically criticise. The acting's all on point here. The, you know, some of the characterisations, absolutely fantastic. And props to everyone involved again, really, for another great episode.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. So with that, you guys can definitely check out, if you like reading more than listening, you can check out Cam's written review. But what grade did you end up giving it, Cam?
Sorry, I was coughing, so I put myself in mute there. I went with A-, which is, I think, the lowest score I've given an episode. But, I mean, A- is, should not ever be considered bad in any way.
Neither should be pluses or Bs B- absolutely. For that matter.
So the fact that I've not even went down to a B+ this season yet is kind of indicative of how much I liked it. So, yeah, if last week was an A+, this one's an A- for me. Still a great episode, but not one I'm maybe going to go back in future years and go, remember with this bit, remember that bit so much this week, if that makes sense.
And where I guess I'm kind of similar to you. There's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but there's also nothing that sets it apart. It's that breath of fresh air, that breath in between, like I said, matches or rounds or however you want to look at it.
The deep breath before the plunge.
There you go. And for that, I kind of give it the same as I have some of those others, a B+. I could maybe push to A-, but I do feel like one thing that bugged me was Andor's case staying where it was at while he was gone. We don't know how long he was gone, but we know he was gone for a bit, and it was in such a easy to spot thing. That's just one of those.
Yeah, if it was a hotel room, you would maybe
expect
you to. But then, you know,
it's just on top of a shelf that you can see from an angle that a regular sized human could see. So little things like that. There were just a few moments where, again, I'm like, even though it was one of the shortest episodes we've had, I can definitely see where we're editing and changing some of the cuts of these episodes. You might be able to shave a whole episode or two out of it and really tighten the shot.
I'd be more looking to add in at that point, maybe to show maybe how empty the place is, that the Empire's bad for business or something like that, and therefore it's not that much a surprise that no one's been there, because it's been pretty much no one's been in it since he was last there.
Or at least a better hiding space than just slightly out of
either of those two things would have worked. I don't think it's so much taken away, you know, that would work for me, but, you know, opinions.
So let's get into the spoilers. During their escape, you don't think they're gonna get away because they get caught and the two aliens kind of talking smack at first and agreeing that the Empire sucks and that the prison is an awful thing. And it was kind of hard for me to understand the alien a lot.
They weren't easy to understand the way they kind of talked and communicated. I kind of felt like I had to put the subtitles on for that bit, a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I don't always do for a lot of Star Wars shows specifically, but I maybe do for other shows if I'm not watching in a huge volume. But for that scene, I just went and whacked the subtitles on and it was fine. But I see what you mean.
But you get the gist of it. And god, nasty disgusting netting. The escape is exactly what I figured it would be, getting the hell off the planet, not really spending too much time else, because we already did the escape, which was from the prison. You know, as long as he gets off rock, that's all
yeah
that,
and we're
that
following
matters.
Andor, and you know, the only two that have ended up where they are is him and Melshi, so you know, we don't know what happened to the rest of them, because Andor doesn't know what happened to the rest of them at this point.
Nope. And that's really it for Cassian, except for when he goes back to get the box on top of the shower, which, like I said, is just the most ridiculous hiding spot ever. And it's one of the things that bugged me from the first time we saw it, and it bugged me even more that it was still there.
I mean, a couple of things about Cassian. I like the way that he was encouraging Melshi in terms of, like, you know, you're giving up, are you? You know, and just kind of almost using reverse psychology against him a little bit to keep him moving. And then I thought, you know, his whole reaction to Marva's death and the way he was kind of looking out over that shore was almost reminiscent of the end of Rogue One when he's looking at it as well.
Exactly.
And it did feel like a turning point for him, you know, at that point, because Melshi's saying to him as well, we need to get this information out there. He's just found out Marva's dead, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got this money in his hand, and he's at this crossroads point now.
Yep. And you get the sense of course, we know where it's going, but it fits the character. And as much as I hate retcon or after the fact connections to previous things, like trying to make Leia and Kenobi good old buddies, you can now see why, again, an after the fact edition, he's at that beach and at peace and kind of thinking. You can see them using the imagery from this episode to connect to Rogue One and see where his mind might be at again, looking at the Death Star blast coming right at them. But like I said, I don't like those things, but I think that's, like you said, specifically what they were trying to do is draw parallels to Rogue One. Excuse me. So yeah, and Andor's arc, it's interesting because we already knew we were getting a season two and that it's going to cover four more years, but it's just like, I'm excited to see how this series ends, but I know it's not going to be as fulfilling as some endings, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that as in we already know there's additional
because
stuff
it's a
coming
season
forward.
One. It's like you never get an ending as satisfying in season one as you do in the final season. Usually,
exactly.
If a show's done well, you know, sometimes you do because shows peter out and all of that, but. I think really we should maybe think about almost Rogue One being the climax to this, though. That
I
kind of feel like after I watch, if I was to watch Andor season one and season two back to back, I'd then want to watch Rogue One to kind of see how it wraps up
together,
and plays into the larger kind of mythology and everything like that. Yeah,
I could definitely see myself doing that. It'd be the first time I've watched a Disney Star Wars movie since. Since the last time I watched Rise, unfortunately, I watched it once more to see if I thought it was worse than Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. So how many times have you watched it in total?
Three.
I've only watched it two times.
Yeah, because there was the once in theaters for our Cantina review. Then we took Lucas, because he, you know, wasn't he was smaller at the time, you know, it's 3 years ago, and he couldn't be up that late, so we took him, and then this other time watching it earlier this year to figure out is it worse, is it like below one of the prequel movies.
I think it's not
a revenge
Star Wars movie, because
it's
not the worst made Star Wars movie, but
I don't know. I really can't stand one and two.
I can't think of anything positive to take out of it, though. There's still some positive moments in those movies. Give me one positive moment in the ride of Skywalker.
The duel with anytime Rey and Kylo are dueling, it's good. The choreography, I like the weight.
All right.
And that's the best part of Phantom Menace, is that one duel. That's it. That's the one thing. So okay, one and a half. But you got to deal with the kid talking. You got to deal with Jar Jar in that. Like, sure, if you watch it on mute.
Only a little bit. Okay. Anyway, we're not going to get any older.
Yeah.
Kind of prequel sequels thing again.
So let's talk about Mon Mothma and her like we said she was going to end up doing, but it doesn't look like it was. You know what it kind of reminded me of, or not reminded me of anything, what I thought about when you see her and her daughter's going through this cultural ritual or affirmation or whatever, and you can kind of see why there is tension between Mon Mothma and her daughter finally. You know, we've dealt with the cranky teenager aspect and we've kind of pawned it off to that, but in reality her daughter is really embracing the Chandrillian culture and Mon Mothma's not as much, and that
no,
seems to
clearly
be...
she doesn't value that.
Yep.
That
and
practice and culture, and neither does her cousin Vale. Yep. Possibly even more so.
And it seems like that is our that is the source of our contention within the family.
It also
for those
seems
two.
As if that's how Mon got together
husband,
with Perrin
together.
As well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I like how they connect all that and reveal it, and her looking at that situation given the offer that was made to her in the last episode, and her basically going, not so much I'm giving my daughter to this culture, but I'm giving up trying to keep my daughter away from it. And which in my mind is a really cool twist on that situation, you know, because all the other times, any other time this a similar situation would be, it would be the mom or the parent or whatever saying, oh, let me convince my kid to do this because it, you know, for the greater good. This time it's the opposite. It's her giving up trying to separate her daughter from this for the greater good. I like that.
The darker aspect of it is that you know, I think the part of the custom is allowing your parents to arrange your marriages, which is a custom that many cultures still have in planet Earth as well, to this day and age. So this is not an unusual thing that we're not used to. But I think maybe the difference for Mon here is that who she is supposed to be arranging and setting this up with is not someone that she would naturally choose. She would try and find a better fit than that.
Yep.
So there's a guilty aspect of it even from her as well. And kind of that sense that, you know, as my daughter, you kind of feel old enough to really understand what she's getting herself into here. Do I allow this to happen or do I push back against it? When am I then a hypocrite because I went through exactly the same process myself? Yeah, there's a lot to unpackage there, but I think the most important thing is that we really understand Mon's anguish and kind of her mental pathways that she's going through, and that's sold to us so well by Genevieve O'Reilly again, who was fantastic this week. Again, some of the acting, just the way she was sort of looking at her daughter, and the emotion on her face, you could just... Yeah, it's like good actors, the eyes are a window into the soul, and you kind of felt like you could see through as to what was going on in her mind, and that's always good acting.
I agree. And her cousin, the rebel,
she's good as
well.
She's
done she's done a really good job. I like the kind of showdown with the not Leia over in the shop. Again, everything's great. These are moments that we needed in some form or another. They're enhanced by the actors performing them.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry, Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Let's go ahead and carry on to the Stellan Skarsgård. I every time I try to say my clever phrase, my stutter gets in the way. It was a fun little action sequence.
I dug it. Yeah.
My only complaint, my one complaint. Can you guess what my one complaint about this whole action sequence is, Cam?
No, it's not coming to me.
It's yet another take on the Star Destroyer shape in another freaking craft. Like, it's pointless. It's a waste.
You mean the design of that craft?
Yes,
that,
we didn't.
That,
need,
they didn't
we didn't
design
need
that, Kyle. That's already
one.
In the canon.
Okay,
brought
well,
back an old style
from Rebels or something.
I can't remember where it came from, but we've never seen it in live action 100%. But it's definitely a canon.
My point still stands because they create new things to sell toys, and they did it back then. We didn't need another one. Like, what is the problem with having what?
But it's not a bog standard Star Destroyer.
Yeah, or even other cruisers that we've seen.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
The idea is that this is a ship that he has got a chance of getting away from because it can be disabled and it's not really designed for being able to handle too much. Whereas if that was a full-on Star Destroyer and he employs those countermeasures that he did, you kind of feel like it ain't going to help.
Then
they're just going to chase him into
oblivion. That's why you go with one of the other cruisers, like I said. You know, I get it, I guess, but I just because I hadn't seen it in live action before. My mind immediately goes to every time they create a new variant alien or they create a new variant ship.
How did it worked within the kind of established rules that we already have,
Tractor beams, I've never seen them come out of a satellite dish. That was kind of interesting to me.
That's what he attacked. I think it's, yes, but that doesn't mean that because that's the biggest target. I think the satellite dish thing is the comms, because remember, it starts with him losing his comms completely. It just cuts off.
That's a jamming. So then tell me this. Why not use an interdictor?
I mean, it's something that we've never had introduced into the kind of live action canon yet. Plus, an interdictor is specifically designed to pull people out of light speed.
Right, but they have comm jammers, of course, because when you pull someone out, you don't want them sending off a distress call. And they have the tractor beams because that's the goal: rips something out.
I get that, and capture. I mean, I'd love to see an interdictor in live action because I thought. I mean, they could have used that so well. And for example, Rian Johnson, you could have used them in The Last Jedi. You have kind of the same effect that you had without using them. But anyway, the Interdictor is a very cool kind of craft that I loved for the EU. And it is, I think, a canon craft.
It is. It was in episodes. Sorry, my dog. Hold on.
We're taking this short commercial break while Cal deals with his dog.
Someone opened the door. My wife being the one that opened the door, and now she's losing it. It is canon. It's been in Rebels, mentioned in Thrawn Alliances, Heir to the Jedi, and other things. So yeah, the Interdictor would have been my
again,
choice. Even if it wasn't canon already, I would have used this to make it canon.
And talk about the newest episodes with people online, and although I didn't know this shit, people were saying, oh my god, that's the class.
Yeah.
I'm so cool we're finally getting to see one of them, and that's how I know it's something that was already there, but I couldn't give you the exact names.
That's all good. I like I said, I like the action sequence. I like how he's, you know, thinking about what to do. He's got his countermeasures. He's got a smuggler's ship, if you will,
this is one of the things I was kind of a little bit about at first, was because I thought, why didn't he just let himself get picked up, take the check, go away on his business? But I think his ship is modified in such a way that I think that would be quite suspicious, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's why I say he's got essentially like a smuggler's ship. It's designed to look
some
a lot
toys.
Yeah, it's designed to look a lot less conspicuous, but is very, very fancy under the paint. His situation with Saw, man, that was pretty intense. That was some good drama there.
Yeah, I like those two are good together. So
I know, right?
Well, that was a good scene. Yeah.
We mentioned last week how you have real cases in history. You brought up World War II specifically, with the, what is that? Okay. World War II, where after breaking German codes and having to let certain things go down, you know, that it's not just World War II. That stuff probably goes on to this day, where certain, you know, even letting things be leaked so you can follow to try to find the source of a leak and things like that. And
the big game intelligence is one big game played by all sides all the time. And we're seeing that in Andor, because we do see things from the ISB's point of view as well.
Yep.
The kind of tricks they're putting into place to try and draw people out and, you know, spread certain bits of information. It keeps the show interesting.
And speaking of the ISB, we've got their Deidre, you know, saying, hey, let this funeral happen, trying to draw out Andor, as well as, what's his name, Siler.
They don't want to draw him out. She probably doesn't want to draw him out.
No, I'm saying, but he's getting drawn out himself anyways by hearing that the mom, that
I
Andor's
that
mom died.
I love that conversation he had with the guy, where he doesn't, so you know, he just thinks he knows what he's saying at the other end.
Yep.
That was actually really well done.
I agree.
And it just felt like a transmission from another planet. You know, it really did.
It's gonna be interesting, the another showdown on Ferrix, because I'm pretty certain that's where we're going. We get to see Bix again. She looks rough as
yeah,
hell.
Yeah.
And I like that we didn't have to spend too much time with anyone, because like I said, you could already find places to nip a few seconds here and there throughout this whole series. But I feel like it's just a really good set. I've enjoyed the ISB stuff. I mean, hell, I'm one that's always, you know, I don't want any more stuff between 3 and 4. So
yeah,
let's skip ahead and here in the Mandalorian era, or slightly thereafter, when our first order starts showing up. I want more like drama, political stuff like this. I would love to see the wrapping up of warlords and splinter cell groups after the Empire's fall, and all of the posturing for
that
positions
could have
of power in the
rebellion.
I mean,
could have
been
set post Rise of Skywalker,
but regardless, we're never going to get anything like that. And I actually have a lot of fears about what season 2 of Andor will be like. I have this awful feeling we're going to have a sudden show up of a whole slew of Rebels related stuff, just because it hasn't done
because
as hot.
It crosses over. I mean,
they can do it. I'm not saying that it would be,
for example, the Rebels, they rescue Mon Mothma at one point, right?
I know.
So that aspect came into it. But it could be done in a way where you don't necessarily see the Rebels crew or anything like that. You know, it's just...
See, that's the thing. I'm thinking they're going to give us stuff like that because, well, one, we know that they've got some of those Rebels crew working on Ahsoka right now. We know Andor season 2 is filming soon or already started or something. They're putting Andor out on television, obviously, to try to get some more interest in it, to bring in more subs and things like that. Tell me you don't fear. I know you even like some of the Rebels, so do you think they'll include more of what some of the audience,
you know,
fan
service and cameos and shit like that? You mean, no, I don't think Tony Gilroy will do that.
I hope not.
Because I think he's too strong to do that. I think if you look at this show, one thing we didn't mention was this week we finally got quite a few aliens for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's something.
Well, there's that one big alien in the first couple of episodes there on Ferrix. But
But so, I mean, to me, it would be, given where we see Cassian, it's not, I mean, the Rebel Alliance doesn't really kind of get going until Rogue One. So we're still in a very kind of strange, murky world, I think, where we're going to be in Andor Season 2. There's still going to be an element of pulling trying to pull different factions together. But I think Cassian will be more directly being sent on specific missions at this point. I think he'll be recruited. That's what I would guess, that Season 2 is him being kind of fully signed up to the Rebellion and starting to kind of do his various missions that he has to do, and some of the complications he finds himself in as a result of that.
I think some really bad stuff is going to happen on Ferrix. That's what I think. I think some really bad things are going to happen next episode that kind of solidifies.
There's one spoiler I've seen, so I'm going to careful in terms of predictions. It's not major, but like somebody, I think it was on Reddit, posted an image and it kind of shows something very specific happening. I won't mention it to you.
Yeah.
But it kind of gives me an idea, even though it's not guaranteed, of where kind of things might go. So I'll stay away from predictions specifically, but I'll let you kind of...
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think that his foot will be firmly in the let's fight the Empire side of things. That's what I believe by the end.
I mean, we talked about the money thing and how I think, you know, that money is going to be unimportant to him come the end of next week, if you like.
I think you can even feel that in those final scenes with him after he gets his case back, to where the case just doesn't seem to matter as much. Yeah,
really, I think that's what he's thinking. What was the point of all of this? You know, what did it get him? You know, this bag of money, great. You know, what did they lose as a result of that? And I think...
What did it cost?
Yeah, what did it cost? Everything. And it kind of did. But that's what pushes people into extreme scenarios, like becoming ultimately terrorists and spies for a clandestine kind of rebellion. So, you know... expected, but it's quality so far. It's a good journey to follow.
Yeah, and I cannot wait for more. I'm gonna be very sad for the next couple of. Well, I won't say very sad. We do have Mandalorian season 3. Yeah, that's February.
It's not as good as Andor, but it's still been good, man. I'm still excited to see.
Maybe we'll get a Mayfield episode again. That would be great. I doubt it.
Well, I think we'll get something like that. I think he'll definitely be in it.
And then Ahsoka, I'm scared crapless of it.
Yeah, that's one I'm not at the moment really excited for, because I kind of...
Time travel, mother butters. I mean that alone, the world between worlds and the fact that we know Christensen has, you know, signed on to be in it, whether that's ghost flashbacks or
we don't know.
Flipping time travel.
We don't know.
And it scares the
because I think if we didn't have
me.
That knowledge, if we didn't have those little clues, those little teases, I think we'd maybe be a little bit more positive for Ahsoka.
Because I've liked her in live action in Mando and Mando 2.5.
Yeah.
I've liked her in Mando 2 and 2.5. I don't have any affinity for the animated version of the character, but...
I guess I do. But even then, I didn't like World Between Worlds.
Scares the crap out of me, and I know some people foaming at the mouth, but they can fix the sequels. It doesn't matter. The sequels happened. Palpatine came back. They're not going to undo. They will not undo the sequels.
No.
So everyone that thing, but they could do a hell of a lot more damage than Leia having a whole adventure with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Anywho, short episode of Andor, so I guess it's a short Cantina review.
Yeah,
I'm not too upset with that. I still have an anime reaction to do today. So You guys can find a whole lot more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network. Anime Versal Reviews doing anime reviews. AVR Square doing anime reactions. Daily Cog Breaking Geek covering anything and everything you can imagine in entertainment news, geek and pop pop culture. And of course, there's Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, which is the Marvel version of this show, covering, you know, Marvel news and reviews. That should be back after the Thanksgiving holiday. Nick is busy at work, and let's
you did
face
Black
it
Panther too, though, with Manny, didn't you?
I did do Black Panther Wakanda Forever with Manny as part of a Marvel
I haven't watched the movie yet, so
X
I therefore haven't watched
Daily Cog. But that's what I was gonna say is you guys really don't want the Nick is our sole Marvel fanboy. Everyone else has they've liked Marvel, most of us at various levels have pissed off over most of Phase 4. So without that glowing Marvel fanboy, you would end up with a very, very sour Kyle, and then a various levels of unenthused to slightly worried for most other people here at the Genreverse. So
yeah, because I mean, like, Manny's more of a DC guy, isn't he? I think Manny's definitely a DC camp more kind of thing.
Yes,
so,
especially since phase four. But yeah, we've got a lot of great content. All of those also go up on your favorite podcast apps like Spotify and Apple, Stitcher, and of course we have the website. LRM, I almost said AOL. Why the frack? LRMonline.com. I know, right? LRMonline.com. Go there every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions, written reviews, and articles. And yeah. Cam, anything else to put out?
No, I guess I will get this camera fixed at some point for people that watch us on YouTube. But I think I may need to buy a new phone.
Done. Holiday sales are big in America for electronics. Are they there in the UK?
Well, I do a contract thing. So it's been a few years since I've had an upgrade, and I've been on a kind of min, you know, SIM-only contract or whatever. So I can do it, but it's kind of like a pain in the backside because everything else in this phone works perfectly well. So
yeah.
Annoying, but people on podcasts listen to us on the air and Spotify and all that, I just don't care. But, you know, but for those of you on YouTube, it is a bit annoying looking at one random picture. So
yeah, and I don't get to go through because I don't want to just have like your image there, your stuck face.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well
like
do that
thing,
one as
so.
the header. I mean, if you want to see people, this is what you're going to see in this show. That's the perfect one. So.
All right, guys, it's been a great conversation. It's been a great show. It will be a short week on the Genreverse next week because I am not, other than this Andor review and one anime review, I am not working anything on Wednesdays, Thursdays, or Fridays. So, yeah. Anyways, we'll talk to you next time, and may the Force be with you.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.